Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have a fantastic show planned for you tonight. I'm terribly excited because of tonight's show. And what I want to do is at this time, I want to go ahead and start bringing in my featured co-host for the evening. Let me begin with bringing in Miss J, all the way from the PT State. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's nice to have you with us always.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be back again on the show. It seems like it's been forever since I was talking to you all, but I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on tonight's topic. And always remember that our Dr. Walker, and I quote, he is not just telling stories, but changing lives.
All right, Miss J, thank you so very much for that. We are so excited to be here tonight. We've got several of our co-hosts that's going to be joining us tonight. If you want to speak to the issue tonight, of course, press 1. Let's go live to 813-494. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Good evening, Dr. Walker, and all of the and everyone that's on the call tonight. I'm excited to be here. Sorry, I do apologize for my absence over the last few shows. Holiday and family obligations have prevented me from being here, but I am excited and thankful to be back on the show, and I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
Excellent. That's Ms. Joyce. Thank you so very much for joining us all the way also from the PT State. Let's go ahead and bring in Lady C. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us.
It is a pleasure to be here. I hope everyone has had a fabulous Thanksgiving. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week. And I am looking forward to seeing what tonight's show is going to be about.
All right. Excellent. Let me go ahead. I don't know. I'm hoping we're not having technical difficulties because it's not giving me the names of the people. Let's go to 623-500. Who do we have with us?
This is Herb. Hiya. Hi, this is Herb. Can you hear me?
Yes. Dr. Moore.
Hi, Dr. Moore. How are you? My name is Herb, and I'm related to Mrs. J. I'm out here in Phoenix, Arizona, and she called me up and told me I got to listen in on this. So I said, all right.
All right. Well, Mr. Herb, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you as well. And those of you all that want to chime in, you want to press 1 at this time. We're waiting for some more of our co-hosts to chime in also by pressing 1. Tonight's topic is creating your own rules of creating your own rules of engagement to improve your relationship. Creating your own rules of engagement to create your own to improve your relationship. And what's meant by that? Just like when you go to war, you go overseas, and there are certain universal rules of engagement when it comes to war. My father was a military man, and he used to tell us oftentimes about certain rules and regulations, things that you can do and things that you could not do when it came to war. And this was basically an international principle that all countries that had wars, they had to follow these rules. So just as we're talking about the rules of engagement for war, we're also talking about, we're talking about rules of engagement for your own relationship. Now, all of us know that relationships from, they're going to have trials and tribulations. Every relationship, I don't know of any relationship that has never had trials and tribulations. So as such, I think it probably helps when, and oftentimes I counsel and coach people on, if you can create your own rules of engagement so that when, not if, but when your battle starts, then you might be able to resolve some issues and you might be able to get along, and it may avoid, you know, even going down to get a divorce. Well, tonight we're not claiming that we have all the answers, but we're certainly going to give you some things. Ms. J, we want you to read that disclaimer, and then I'll take a few opinions, then we'll get to tonight's story. Ms. J, if you'll go ahead and give us the disclaimer.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, and his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financially, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
Thank you, Ms. J, for that. Ladies, I want to start with you first, and I want to just get a few opinions here. When it comes to rules of engagement, do you think that's necessary for a relationship?
Yes, it sets boundaries for respecting each other.
Okay, all right, all right. That's something in your relationship that you would want to incorporate?
Say that one more time.
Okay. Is that something in your relationship that you would want to incorporate, that you would want to put into your relationship?
Yes, because if I was in a relationship, I want my relationship to grow. And if I don't have any boundaries or anything, how will it grow?
All right. Excellent. Excellent point. Ms. J, let me bring you in. I want to ask you that question. Do you think that that's something that you would want in your relationship?
Most definitely. And I would want to start with first dating and go all the way through marriage, because it's sort of like a safety net to make sure that whatever happens, you know, that you'll be able to deal with it. To me, I call it a standard of conduct, you know. Like, for instance, just a good example, you know, when you're having an argument, you set rules. Okay, we don't raise our voice at each other. You know, it's like a safety net. You don't walk out of the room when I'm talking to you. You know, we don't do those kind of things. So it's good to set rules. And really, it will determine in the long run whether you could have a long-term successful relationship if you know how to deal with people like that, you know, because you're going to have conflicts just like you said.
Okay, let me bring Herb, I want to bring you in. We're going to bring out the co-host in just a moment. Herb, I want to bring you in and ask you the question along those lines. Do you think rules of engagement are necessary?
Are you talking to me, Herb?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay, I had a question number one. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Engagement is very, very much important. And both sides should have some kind of a understanding. They could both agree or both agree to disagree. But no matter what,
okay,
I feel that you should talk it out. Definitely not go to sleep with it on your mind. You got to have some kind of agreement.
Okay. All right. I like that. Thank you so much, for her, Mr. Herb. We certainly appreciate that. We're waiting for some of our co-hosts to press one tonight. If they're going to participate, perhaps they're just listening in. Also, we want to welcome all of you all who are just joining us tonight. Topic is creating your own rules of engagement to improve your relationship. Let's go ahead and welcome Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure and honor to have you, sir.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. It's a great, great, terrific Thursday. So happy Thursday, everybody.
All right, excellent. Do you think rules of engagement are necessary for relationships?
Absolutely, and I would go one step further and say most relationships don't have rules of engagement. It's more like the Wild Wild West, and it's just a gun-slinking, say what you want to, do what you want to, and hope that the dust settles and everybody's okay.
Okay. All right. Ms. Joyce, what about you? Your thoughts on that? I mean, why not just have a free-for-all? Do what you want. I do what I want.
No, that would never work. I agree with everyone has been saying and commenting that you do have to have rules when you are in a relationship, because you just can't do free for all, because that creates a lot of tension and anything can happen when you say free for all. And this is why sometimes when you don't have those boundaries, you don't have the respect, and things happen.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that. We're going to go to tonight's topic. You still have time to contact someone and let them know that this is a show that they don't want to miss. We're going to go right to the story this evening, you all. We welcome the comments that will be coming in. Tonight's character, Xavier and Wanda. Now, it took Xavier and Wanda only 3 years into their marriage when they realized that in order to have a successful marriage life together, they had to come up with an idea that could possibly keep them together. Wanda is 33, and Xavier is 35. There's no question about their love and dedication for each other. The challenge is, how do they weather the storms of marriage that they know so many have failed to do in terms of being able to have a successful marriage. Now, both their parents divorced early in life, both on both sides. Prior to Wanda and Xavier getting married, they did all the right things they knew to do in anticipation of going into a marriage where there is no certainty or guarantee. Of course, marriage or any relationship has no certainty or guarantee. Xavier and Wanda's first 2 years of marriage were extremely rocky, which is what actually caused them to create their own rules of engagement to work things out, not if, but when the ups and downs in marriage come. Now, here are a few of their initial rules of engagement. They have about 8 that are listed, and all these stories are inspired by true stories. Now, number 1, they agreed to pray together before getting into a heated discussion. Number 2, they allowed each other to present his or her issue with appropriate time and opportunity for a fair rebuttal or defense. Number 3, there was absolutely no name calling or physical abuse allowed. Number 4, no talking about each other's family. You know, that's a big one. A lot of times you talk about people's family. No talking about family members or third parties to their issues unless necessary to clarify things about a relative issue. Now, they put a time limit on completing the issues or discussions. If an issue could not reasonably be resolved within the time limit, they agreed to table it for 24 to 48 hours, which also allowed time to think about things. Number 7, they agreed to not bring in other people into their issues unless it was a professional to help them actually resolve their issue. Number 8, and finally, they agreed to create a positive list as a reminder of why they love each other and got together in the first place. Now, since the creation of their rules of engagement, Xavier and Wanda seldom, if ever, get into a heated argument. Now, this list has worked successfully for them, and they are convinced that others could also benefit by creating their own rules of engagement. Lady C, let me go back to you and start with you and ask the question, do you think Wanda and Xavier, with this list of rules of engagement, actually live in a fantasy world?
No.
They do not need, no, that was a good thing they did create that. But they forgot one. They forgot one rule. Can I say that rule?
What's that? Okay.
They forgot to say, don't be gossiping about each other to each other's families. meaning he can't go to his family talking about his business. She can't go to her family because that's where them demons come in at.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one. See, this is, I'm sure it's not an exhaustive list, but that's worked for them. And then I would imagine as time goes on, they pick, you know, other rules, and that might be one right there that people can actually put out here. Let me go to you, Ms. Joyce. Let me bring you in here and ask you a question. Do you see anything else that they could have left out, or do you see anything that they had in there that, okay, you know, that wouldn't work for me? Now, remember, everything, not one size fits all.
I think that everything on that list should be there as far as creating some rules. And also, you can't, and another thing, you can't just walk out. You know, sometimes people say, I just don't want to hear it, and I'm not going to talk about it. And I don't know if that was mentioned, but they'll just leave
right.
Leave the situation, leave the house or whatever, and then just ignore everything. So you just cannot, when there's an issue, you must talk about it. And you have to have rules and boundaries to getting things resolved, and that's a great list of things. And never go to bed mad with each other.
Okay. Now, you
or
know,
angry.
It's seldom if ever that I've actually heard people that say, well, we have, in my house, we have rules. When they're referencing that, it's usually rules for the kids. And sometimes there's a silent rule, Ms. Joyce, there's a silent rule that, I don't even know if it's a silent rule, but it's just an assumption that people, okay, you know, not going to call names, but then they will call names. How effective and hurtful can that be when you call somebody a name?
Oh, gosh. That is words you cannot take back. When it comes out, it can cut like a knife. And, you know, you have to really watch what you say, because once it's said, and you can't retract it, especially when it's hurtful. You cannot retract hurtful words.
Right. Okay, Ms. J, let me bring you in here. You know, I've grown up as kids, you know, when you were getting about ready to fight, or you did fight, and sometimes you called into the teacher's, you know, teacher catch you, or you called into the principal's office, and they say, well, why were you fighting? Why did you hit him? Or say it to the girl, why did you hit her? She called me out of my name, Miss J. I mean, if your name is Miss J and they call you something else, that's not your name. You fight over that.
Exactly. You'll do that little name game. That's not my name now. What else you going to call me? But, yeah, you're a fighter. But, listen, this is what I really want to say. When you ask the other two people the question, what did they leave out?
All right.
One thing I think was left out of all of this is rules to be close together, one-on-one closeness, rules like quality time together, show affection often, a lot of sex. They married. You know, that's important. You know, and the golden rule to me in a marriage is always remember, I am the priority. Your spouse or your mate is always the priority. Keep me the number one. And all these other stuff falling under that priority, all this other stuff saying that I'm not the priority. So if you keep them as the priority in your relationship, that's the golden rule, you know. But you
okay, so, Michelle, are you telling me that, okay, if it's a man or a woman, for that matter, you can have several mm-hmm. other people involved that you're involved with, as long as you're the priority. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying when you are married or in a serious relationship, your relationship is the golden rule is us, we are the priority. God is
okay.
First, and we come before all of them, not only unless you have children. Of course, your children is going to be important. But you let the mother, the sister, the brother, the best friend, and all these people, they are nobody. You don't let nothing come in between. You all priority. You all work it out. So just remember
okay.
that your relationship
right.
is the priority.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in Ms. Teresa. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program with us.
Yes, Dr. Walker. I'm so sorry. I'm a little late. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for joining us. It's
okay.
a pleasure to have you.
Yes. thank you. I just wanted to add a couple of comments on it. I like what Ms. Jay said and everybody. The one thing I think is left out is forgiveness. And I like what she said. The first priority of any marriage is you have to put God first. You have to pray together in order to keep your home together. And forgiveness, you have to learn forgiveness. You have to learn to agree to disagree, because marriage is a covenant. It's the second thing God created. And so it's a very, very serious institution. And when two people understand that, I think that's a recipe for an awesome marriage, when they keep God first in spite of what they go through. But like Ms. Jay said, God, themselves, and then the children. And then extended family, you have to have that order.
All right, we're going to ask you, Sam, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is creating your own rules of engagement to improve your relationship. We're going to ask all of you to stand by this door. We're going to welcome Jack to the program. Jack, welcome to tonight's program. It's a pleasure to have you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So, Jack, do you think the rules of engagement are necessary? I mean, if it were, I mean, like football teams have plays, basketball teams have plays, companies have policies. Why can't relationships, I mean, they don't basically come with any instructions. Why can't they have policies or rules of engagement? I mean, I'm just asking.
I think we as long as both sides are in agreement with that, both parties, that is, they sit down and they say, now this is our plan. You plan your work and then you work your plan. That's the old cliche that, you plan your work, then you work your plan. I think everybody should have something like that, so you can know exactly where you're headed. You should have short-term goals, and then you should have long-term goals. You know, by next year or 6 months from now, we want to make sure that we reach this accomplishment. We want to make sure that we buy a house within a few years. We want to make sure we have a certain amount of money in the bank, saving money for our kids. So you should have some type of rules, but both parties need to be in agreement. It's not a one-sided thing. It's not a dictatorship, but it's both parties working together for a common goal. And I thought I heard somebody say something about the golden rule. The golden rule is basically is do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So we need to keep that in mind as well. So that's how I feel about it.
All right, Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. You know, many have, for some reason, changed that golden rule to be do unto others before they do unto you. And so I remember counseling a lady, and she said, listen, this counseling is not going to do anything. It's not going to be effective. I'm just coming here because I need to talk, and I'm going to tell you what I'm getting ready to do. And she told me, she said, my first thing is, once I know that I'm clearly, I've made up my mind, I'm going to divorce my husband, and it's a matter of who can get to the bank first. And she said, in fact, I've already been to the bank. And by the time he go there, and that I done took out the money, I left him about $25 in the bank. So she said, boy, that's the rule of engagement. It's actually doing unto others before they do it unto you. Jack, how do you feel about that? I mean, I know that sounds non-biblical.
I am torn. I'm not torn, but I'm upset over that, because to me that's being selfish. I think that what she should have done, they should have gotten together as a husband and wife, or two partners, or whatever you want to call them, and they should decide that they were going to split it. They're going to split 50% hers and 50% his. And that's how they should have done. For her to go to the bank before he does and leave him with 25, of course he's going to be upset. And I'm sure he's going to be looking for her wherever she decided that she was going to go. But if they had sat down together and come up with some type of agreement, this is what we, like you're saying, those rules, put something in place from the beginning, I don't think they would have had a problem like they're having, like they're going to have. This is going to create a major problem. And a lot of this I don't understand, and I'll probably get some feedback on it. I don't understand a lot of this generation now, and how they come together. Both parties do whatever they feel they want to do, and there's no type of continuity or no type of togetherness. You do yours is yours, and mine is mine, and I'm going this direction. You can go wherever you want to go, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But yet, instead, you're saying that you're married. I don't understand that. That's baffling to me.
That, Jack, unless you've actually been that route. And, I mean, and every situation is different, and, of course, there's always extenuating circumstances and the exception. And the fact of the matter is, it's almost like by the time you reach the point where the relationship is almost like it's done, and you pretty much know it's done, then it changes. I mean, people who were once desperately in love or madly in love, however you want to term it, then all of a sudden it's like they don't even want to look at each other. I mean, it's like it's over. And it's a matter of, okay, now I gotta collect myself and make certain that I look out for my own best interest. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to go to Benny from the block. Benny from the block, in your opinion here, now we're talking about creating your own rules to improve your relationship, but if the relationship is not working, then the rules, if you're not following those rules of engagement, it's almost like it just goes out the window. And then what else do you have? What else do you have?
Well, disrespect is now looked at as being respect, and respect is looked at as being disrespect. So there's such a confusion on what people understand marriage to be. Nobody understands the biblical rules for marriage anymore. It's, again, like I said earlier, it's a free-for-all. I like you, you like me, let's get married and see what happens. And so we don't have love anymore. There's so many people
yeah,
that just don't
have
love.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah, and so rules of engagement. If your rules of engagement is not rooted in love, then it's just rooted in emotions, and your emotions change all the time. It's up, it's down, it's around, it's going to a corner, and so you have a lot of emotional turmoil, tumultuous turmoil, and that's how people live now.
Right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Brother Herb, I want to bring you in. Brother Herb, if you're, let's just say a hypothetical, let's say
I'm here. Can you hear me?
A couple. I hate to put Adam and Eve in this here, so we'll put Stephen Marshall in. We'll just call it Stephen Marshall and say that now they're really upset with each other. They realize that they can't even make it through the 7-year itch of marriage. And it's like they've got $14,000 in the bank in a joint account. Do you think it's fair that the first one they get to the bank to get the money, because they, it's clearly obvious they're not going to have the equitable distribution. They're not going to divide it. It's a matter of who gets to the bank first. What do you think about that, Herb?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Right there, you're describing a couple that really needs to start off with some kind of professional counseling and possibly going for separation. They should not be together.
Okay.
I'll tell you that right now. Just listening to what you just said, don't even try to keep them together. So we're talking about bank account is one thing. Then there's going to be something else next. Then who else knows what goes down the line? So why are we trying to keep them together when they're doing everything to show that they should not be together?
Okay, so
can
I
ask a question?
Okay, but just before you come in, if they're not going to be together, then the question becomes: Should Marshall run to the bank, try to get to the bank before he gets to the bank? What do you think? Before Steve gets to the bank?
It's going to end up being that way. It's going to be a battle of getting to the bank.
Okay, if you were Steve in this situation versus Marsha, would you be trying to get to the bank? And you're just not getting along. And you really don't even like each other. You're trying not to use the word hate, but you really can't stand her. Are you going to try to get to the bank as quick as you can?
Yeah, get my money out, put
no,
it in a whole different bank
no.
account. I'm going to get the money out and put it in a whole different bank.
Yeah, listen, you're going to get the whole okay, we're going to ask you to stand by.
What I'm going to do is go.
Somebody had a question on that. Come on in. Teresa, come on in, please.
I had a question. I had two questions. First of all, what is a 7-year itch? To me, that terminology is extremely worldly. It is a worldly,
okay.
For everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. It is the world's
mm-hmm.
version of, well, let's wait for 7 years. And if you put that in a person's mind, and if it's completely hovering over marriage, then people are going to think, oh, let's make it through the 7-year itch. No, there's no such thing as a 7-year itch. It's a such thing as bringing your marriage before God and both of you and that man being the head of the household as he allows God to rule him so she can follow him. That's just all I'm saying. But I'm just saying it just seems like it's a very worldly perspective. I'm sorry if it seems spiritual, but to me, that's the word on the street. That's all that matters right now.
Okay, you know, I apologize.
Am I still on with you?
You know,
this
but I do want to say this. I want to say this here part. And that is, I don't know if you've looked at the latest statistics on divorce among Christians, but it's well over 55%. It's well over 55%. So I don't see personally that a lot of the marriages that are together are any different from marriages of the world, if you want to term it that way, or secular, because I've even interviewed, quote unquote Christian couples that have said that they don't even love each other, that it's only Jesus that keeps them together. And that. But well, Michelle, let's bring you in. We're almost out of time, you all, and we got still a lot to cover. We got to entertain some of the comments that have come in. Michelle, let's bring you in.
Yes. I would like to address that, what you talked about, the money situation. You know what? It depends on the type of relationship me and that guy had. But I think if he was low down and no good, I'm going to the bank.
And how much are you going to take half of the money?
He's going to do it to me, and I'm going to use that money right, because he's not going to leave me homeless. A lot of men would do that if he was really a low down, no good man. You know,
okay,
hell,
so
we'll run to the bank. And about the 7-year itch, I think it's a worldly thing, too, but I think in a marriage, couples like to prove that, okay, that's just what they say, 7-year itch, but look, baby, we done passed 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. You know, it's like you don't reach that goal and everything is good. Which is good.
All right, So, Ms. J, you didn't answer that question. Are you going to take, there's a $14,000 in the bank. Are you taking half or are you taking more than half?
Oh, I would just get half of it. I would be fair, but if he was low down, he would probably get more than half. So I ain't going to give him that opportunity. But I'm going to be
okay,
good.
Okay, so what would you take? You're going to take half if he was so-called low down? And I want you to define that term.
I would take half because I'm not a low-down person, say, if he was that. And, you know, I would be equal and fair. Because if we work together in this marriage, it should be equal. And ain't no give a low down.
Hey, so Miss J, explain low down person.
If he treated me bad, he was cheating on me, he never took care of the household, he was a user, he was not necessarily abusive, but he just wasn't being a man of the house.
Okay.
He wasn't being a
man,
you know.
All right.
Low down.
You've just given me
y'all did not
time.
Explain. I just have that question. Nobody told me what the 7-year itch is. Where is it? Where can you find the 7-year itch? Where's the definition of a 7-year
itch?
Is
there anyone that wants
who
to come over? Talk about the 7-year itch. It goes way back from the.
As
I know.
You know, to me, in my opinion, I didn't come with the 7-year itch. I came with knowing of the first 5-year hump. That's that 5-year hump saying, you know what? The first 7 years, you're getting to know each other, so you're going to go through those ups and downs. You're going to go through a lot of turmoil, but at the end, if you can survive those turmoils 5 years, then y'all can survive the rest.
Is that in the Bible?
I've never seen a 7-year itch in the Bible. Anybody seen a 7-year itch in the Bible?
Oh, no, that's not biblical.
I think that's a wild thing. Okay. If it ain't in the book, it can't take a look. If it ain't in the word, it don't deserve to be heard.
Okay. Can I say something? Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I know a lot of people always say, you know, if it's based on the Bible, it can't be this, it can't be that. Well, guess what? That's everything you do every day that's a sin that's not in that Bible sometimes. If you go out and you take that drink, or if you go out and you with your friends and you dancing and stuff like that, a lot of the Christians will see that sinning, you know? If you're going to hang out at the club, a lot of the Christians say that's sinning. But to us, it's not sinning. It's us having fun, you know?
Okay.
So everything in the Bible is good and biblical and things like that of a learning. But sometimes we can't take everything in the Bible and just try to make it into our own thing and try to brainwash people and let them know, hey, what you're doing is wrong because, you know, I feel like it's wrong.
All right. That's an interesting point. Interesting point. We're going to ask you to stand by. We still got a lot to cover. And we only have about 23 minutes before we bring the show to a close. So we're going to ask you all to stand by. We got some comments that are massively coming into the studio. Tonight we're talking about creating your own rules of engagement to improve your relationship. Miss Joyce, let me go to Miss Joyce for a second. I want to bring you in, and I want to ask you the question. It's like, you know, this money thing. Money is one of the top three reasons why people divorce. So if you have, like some people do a prenuptial agreement prior to getting married, wouldn't that offend, could that possibly offend someone, Ms. Joyce, in your opinion, to say, well, we're going to do a prenuptial agreement, the man just so happened to have pretty substantial money, and you, let's say you don't have as much, you have maybe he has hundreds of thousands, and you don't have it like that, and he wants you to sign a prenup. Are you okay with that, Ms. Joyce?
Probably not. You know, if he's some kind of tri-millionaire or something like that, and he's got this big corporate business or whatever, and, you know, maybe I would, but just on a regular, I mean, a few a few hundred thousand dollars, that's nothing to sign no prenuptial agreement with. And, you know, life is not promised. So just because you think you've got so much, tomorrow you could have nothing. So that prenuptial agreement, I'm not really saying that I'm a fan of it,
okay,
or that I would necessarily be in favor of it.
Okay, so Miss Joyce, if I can ask you this question then, let's say you're the one with $700,000 in the bank, and you meet a man, mm-hmm. and I'm not knocking anyone for whatever they do. Let's just say that he's not formally educated. Let's say that you are. But he's a nice guy. He's really a nice guy, and it's like he treats you with utmost respect. He does maybe a small-end job. He makes about $30,000 a year, but he's a nice guy. He's nice to his mom, and he wants to marry you. Are you okay with that, Ms. Joyce?
With getting a prenuptial agreement?
I mean,
no.
Would you marry this guy and without doing a prenuptial agreement?
I would.
Okay, all right, and then you put his name, let's say you got your house before you got, you know, you had your house, would you put his name on the house as an equal, and would you put his name on your bank account as also a joiner to your account?
Let's say you got three kids
from a prior marriage, would you put his name as the, how would you work that, Ms. Joy?
I think I would have a will in place because I would want to protect my children and make sure that they have a fair share in what I had before I came to that relationship. So I would definitely have a will in place to protect my children as well.
Okay, so that will in place, wouldn't that be a form of the prenup? I mean, would it be okay, let's
mm-hmm.
just say, case scenario, let's just say worst case scenario, something were to happen to you, you got $700,000, man, you got three kids. How much of that would you, and you've only been married 2 years to him, how much of that would you want him to have? And his, and you did say you put his name on the house, right? Is that what you said?
I probably would. I can't really say speak to that, but I'm not going to commit to that comment, but I definitely
okay.
would make
we won't
for
hold
everybody
you to
involved, him and my children.
Right, I understand. I understand. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. I know you are. Things do begin to change when it becomes economically sound. We're going to ask you to stand by. We got to get a word in from our sponsor. Sister Margie, you're on live now. Go ahead and give us your 20-second commercial, please.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening all your co-hosts and everyone on the show. My name is Sister Marjorie Cross. I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world, Isagenix. My website, we have so many health products that may be able to help you for different health illness. We have collagen and other products. And my website is www.sisterlove.isagenix/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. Again, my website is www.sisterlove.isagenix.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. My number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. And Dr. Walker, I just want to say I just want to say yesterday I lost my sister. Yes, so I just want to say, you know, I'm very sad at the moment, you know, but I just wanted to come on and speak to you all. And Dr. Green, she came on the show before. She was a guest when Dr. Jerry Brown came on. And
yeah,
she wasn't sick or anything, but right now we're going to do an autopsy because we're not sure exactly what happened. The doctor said it could be detective said it could be a heart attack, but they're not sure. So we're going to do an autopsy to see what happened because she was well. She was doing perfectly well. So, you know, so right now, you know, I've been crying a lot. I've been grieving and my whole family. So please just keep my family in prayer and I keep you all in prayer. God bless you all. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, Sister Margie, about the loss of your sister. And yes, I do recall Dr. Green being on the program.
Yes.
I remember that vividly, and she sounded very energized. And our prayers are certainly with family during this
time
of bereavement. Certainly.
Thank you. And she's been on a... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, go ahead.
I was just saying she was on a few of your show also because sometimes she listens in, but she doesn't say anything. But she always say, I like the show. It's beautiful. So, you know, I want to thank you, you know, for everything.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. And
you're
we'll keep
welcome.
You in our... Thank you for joining us tonight and taking time out. As we continue with programming tonight, and we certainly do keep Sister Marjorie in our prayer, we have Miracle Prayer Day Saturday morning, 6:30, and we will, at that time, I'll present to remember the family in prayer. Let me come back to Brother Herb right now. Herb, I want to bring you in, and I want to ask you the question. Wow, that took us a little turn here. I want to ask you the question that, If you come up with these rules, you hear rules, there are rules in church, there are rules at home, you grow up with rules in the family, and now you're talking about rules of engagement in a relationship or in a marriage, could it be a point that you get tired of hearing about rules and regulations?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I happen to be kind of unique because I've been in law enforcement for over 30 years, so I'm used to rules, regulations, policies, and procedures. I don't get tired of them. I follow them.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's an interesting.
I'm the wrong person to talk to because I'm a soldier, so to speak. So if you
okay,
if
all right. So you're
I'm accustomed to bureaucracy and I'm accustomed to rules
right.
and regulations.
All right. Jack, let's bring you in. Jack, I mean, when you hear about rules, every time you turn around, you turn left, there's a rule. You turn right, there are rules. North, south, there are rules. I mean, it's like, when does freedom come in? Or is freedom necessary, Jack?
Well, you call them rules, but we have to govern ourselves by the laws of the land. We have to govern ourselves by what the Bible says with the Ten Commandments. So it doesn't matter. I mean, there's rules everywhere. Even if you were to go to prison, they have rules in there, and they have to govern themselves according to that. So we can look at a downside or the bad side of rules, or we can look at it as something that needs to be in place to keep things balanced. And that's how I'm looking at it, is to keep things balanced, because if it were not the Ten Commandments, then we would be doing whatever we wanted to do. So I think the rules are in place to make sure that there's a balance for us. That's how I see it.
All right. Benny, thank you, Jay. We're going to stand by. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here, give you this first comment that came into the studio. We're not going to be able to get to all the comments tonight, but we'll do the best we can because we're about 10 minutes outside of, just about 12 minutes outside of closing the show. This mail he writes in terms of creating your own rules of engagement. I must say I like your topic tonight because it ties in with a battlefield at war, which I think sometimes relationships can reflect upon. Coming up with your own rules of engagement, in my opinion, makes sense when you go to war in your relationship. So Benny from the block, he says it makes sense to have these rules. But what good are the rules if people don't follow them? You said that earlier.
And so if you don't follow the rules, then it's just like not even having a rule. It's like saying if you're supposed to stop at the stop sign, but you don't stop, you just keep going. You're just waiting for a disaster to happen, and it's just a matter of time before it happens. I would encourage this young brother to stay focused and make sure you keep your heart pure and make sure you keep that love that's forever burning in your heart, because remember, love attracts love, and someone's going to see that in you, and they'll have the same desire and the same direction that they want to follow in, and you'll find out that your rules of engagement won't be rules of engagement. It'll be rules to better engage you while you're loving each other.
Okay, awesome. We're going to ask you to stand by. Teresa, I want to bring you in with this next comment. This female, she writes in, we're almost out of time, you all. She says, great idea. I think all relationships could benefit by having rules to follow. Okay, so, I mean, rules. I mean, Teresa, there was a time when I recall when they had in the marital vows that there was a rule in there that said to love, wives are to love, honor, and obey. It was only one time, though. I'm just placing emphasis so you can, you'll feel like probably cutting somebody when you respond. They had in there, wives are to love, honor, and obey their husbands. So that was a rule. So how do you feel about that if you saw that rule in there and you went to a wedding and it didn't have the same rule for the man? Teresa, I want to bring you in and get your thought on that.
I was just basing on what the Bible says, and I do apologize to Ms. C. The rules are put in place for us to live. They are life. And like the brother said earlier, the commandments. The Bible even speaks about women are to submit to their husbands as their husbands submit to God. It doesn't quite say that, but the man is supposed to love his wife as Jesus loves the church. So when a man loves his wife as Jesus loves the church, he'll automatically fall in line. But there is a part in the Bible that talks about how we are supposed to, and the obey is not, to me, it's more metaphorical. It's not like a rigid obeying. It's like he's going to hit us over the head with one of them brick-type things. Also, lastly, I just wanted to say that without rules, there are consequences. Also, obedience to God is the highest form of worship. And
right,
so,
we got that. Now, so Sister Reese, I want to ask you this question, because I have not seen that in the Bible where it says that the wives are supposed to obey their husband.
It's in Corinthians.
It says obey?
It says I don't want to paraphrase it or anything.
I says to obey her husband. I've seen submit. So let me pause for a second, and when you come back, just let us know. Jack, let me come to you for a moment and ask you this here, Jack. And then Jack, before I come to you, I want to get one of the ladies' opinions here. Miss J, I want to bring you in here, and then ladies, see the same question. Then we'll come back to Jack. Miss J. So it says here, if you read the old vows used to be, wives are to love, honor, and obey their husband. So, Ms. A, how do you feel about that when it comes to rules of engagement? He says, well, listen, honey, you're having a fight now. He says, listen, honey, you're supposed to obey me. Girl, you know, don't get it twisted. You're supposed to obey me. You know, that's what the vows, that's what you signed up for. Ms. J, how do you address that, respond to that man?
Number one,
okay,
I would not have married a man that think that I am supposed to obey him every command, because that's not what the Bible or what anybody's talking about obeying that way. I am to submit to him and be the perfect wife and good wife, and he is to love me
yeah.
like God loved the church. And the
okay,
obeying
I'm
part,
clean up.
No.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Miss. Ask you to stand by. Lady C, I got to bring you in here. He says, you know, you don't get the last word, Lady C. He, in fact, if he wants the last word, he has the last word. He says, girl, listen, I'm putting down the law. You must obey me. My word is final. And that's it. Like I watch The Honeymoon of Steel sometimes, and Fred, I mean, what's his name? Ralph Crandom. He never wins, really, he doesn't. But, Lady C, I want to bring you in here and say, he tries to remind you, let's say this is your spouse, and he says, I'm supposed to have the last word. Now, you need to be quiet. Lady C, what do you do when he throws that vow on you?
Well, you know, for one, no man going to talk to me like that, okay? He ain't going to tell me to be quiet, okay, because I'm grown, you know what I'm saying?
On the real. And, you know, I got to say something though, because if he does talk to me like that, I'm probably going to get flipped at the lip and be like, hold on, who you think you're talking to? You know? But I feel like submit and obey is the same thing. It's just...
Really?
Right, to me it is. If you look up the word to obey, it's going to have submit in it too. So to me, submit and obey is the same thing.
Okay, so then if you're following the principles of the Bible, and he said, lady, see, I need you to sit in that chair and be quiet. Okay, I'm the man of the house. So, you're not going to sit there and be quiet, lady, see?
No, because he's just being rude and disrespectful. It's a difference between you wanting me to submit to you and being disrespecting me. To me, I feel like if someone wants you to obey, it's obeying and guidance. Like, you know, if I'm going through a trouble and there's something I really need guidance on, that's when you step in and say, baby, let me show you how to handle this the right way. Guide me to something better. And now I should obey what you're saying to me. Not you trying to tell me.
So in the days we live in, it seems like the women are so smart, they leading the man. But we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Jack, I want to bring you in, and I want to ask this question. We'll get to the phone line. You know we are almost out of time. Jack, I want to bring you in. Jack, I don't know, and I want to whisper this, Jack, because I don't want all the women to hear this part. I don't know of a woman on the planet that will subscribe to a vow that says obey, and I really can't blame them. I mean, Jack, I mean, can you?
Well, I think the ladies have kind of like put a good spin on it when they said what the Bible says. The Bible says you're submitting to your spouse or to your husband as long as he's submitting to God, as long as he's following God. So if he's following God, then it shouldn't be a reason why that woman won't be submissive to him. The Bible makes it plain. It spells it out exactly, the role of the man, the role of the wife. And if we follow that, then we won't have to worry about all this division, camaraderie, and all of that. You know, you do your thing and I do my thing. Like I said earlier, I think in today's age, things have changed. Everybody, like you're saying, there's no such thing as being submissive. And I heard the lady just say a few minutes ago, if her husband were to say that something like that to her, she said she would be flipped at the mouth. I don't blame her, because if he's a man of God, he wouldn't be saying stuff like that. He would be trying. He's supposed to be the king, and she's supposed to be the queen, and he's supposed to treat her that way, and she's gonna easily submit to him if he's treating her as a queen.
Okay,
that is
so
true.
Right. So in the case, Jack, do you find that it's possible? And I heard Ms. Teresa say earlier that the woman won't, if he's submitting to God, then she'll automatically fall in line. If that's the case, then our records indicate that over 55% of the Christians are still divorcing, and they have equated with what people might term as the world.
How
do you explain
that? Right, I wanted to respond to that. I'm glad you came back to that, because I chimed in, but I don't think you heard me. I think that everybody who claimed to be a Christian, they're not a Christian. So there's some rules, there's some regulations, there's some things that we're supposed to, some guidelines that we're supposed to be following if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. Anybody can say that they're a Christian, but yet and still they're whoring around, or they have four or five different women. Or they're out there stealing, out there fornicating, or whatever. But everybody who say that they're a Christian is not necessarily a Christian. A Christian means that you walk a straight and live on that straight and narrow path, not doing what the world is doing. You're doing what God has commissioned you to do, what he's shared for us to do, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm not saying that we're perfect, because we're not, but we're striving for that. We're striving for that perfection, because the only thing that matters is life after death.
All right, we're going to ask you this. We're going to ask you to stand by. Joyce, I want to bring you in, give you this next comment. We're almost out of time here, you all. This male writes in, he says, in reference to creating your own rules of engagement to improve your relationship, since most, if not all, companies have rules and policies, just as you said earlier on the show, why not have rules of engagement when it comes to your relationship or marriage? Great idea, but can it really work? Ms. Joyce, can it really work? Can it really work?
It absolutely can work, you know, when you, especially, it can't work if you don't have people who are reasonable and willing to participate with those rules, but it can work if you do. you know. So both people have to be willing participants and acknowledge those rules and acknowledge those boundaries and what is set forth that they have agreed to. So it will work if they have agreed to it. If they haven't agreed to it, no, it's not going to work.
All right. We're going to I'm gonna bypass you on this next question. It's going to deal with the $700,000 in the prenuptial agreement.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to I'm going to go to Lady C on this one here, because she don't have a problem cutting you up front. So, Lady C, I want to bring you in. So Lady C, you got $700,000. You got four kids from a prior marriage, and the guy, you meet him, and he doesn't have the means. He's making about $30,000 a year, and he doesn't agree to a prenup, and he wants to be put on your house, and he wants equal share of your bank account. So, Lady C, what do you do? But he loves you. And, Lady C, he's a good-looking man.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you guys, because that's all
okay.
I can give you is honesty. He is not going
okay.
to my house. Now, if I do put him on my house, he's going to
uh-huh.
be put on my house with other people, because I know whenever I pass away and that will comes in or that death certificate comes in, if he's the only one on my house, he's getting everything automatically. So I'm going to make sure I have some, like, my sisters, my babies. A lot of people are going to be on that where he will have to fight.
But he says to you, he says, listen, I'm the man of the house now, and you're supposed to submit to me. And if I, you know, I'm the man of the house, and I don't want your family members on the house, the name on the house, because they'll come in here, they go in the refrigerator when they want. We're not having it like that. I'm the man of the house now. And I need to be on your bank account. I'll put you on my bank account. He got $37 in the bank account, but it's okay. You got $700,000. He wants to be on it. He says, you're the beneficiary, baby. If anything happens to me, you get those $37. And I'm adding $25. I'll start adding $25 every time I get paid. Lady C, what you
going
to do?
I've learned this here. When it comes to life insurance beneficiaries, you do not have to be married to place somebody on your life insurance for, you know, that type of reason. But as far as my house, my house that I purchased, I don't think I could let the new guy, you know, be placed on his house. There's no way. Now, if I buy a house in the future, now we could go into that house together, you know, because if I pass on, I would want him to do good, you know. But,
okay, but he wants your
house.
He wants to be on that house. He likes that house. Come on, Lady C.
Dr. Walker.
My house is for my children.
It ain't nothing wrong
with
a woman.
One second, Ms. Jane. Go ahead. One second, Ms. Jane. Go ahead, Lady C.
My house is for my children, so there is no way I will let a man come in and take control of this house and take it from my kids. There's no way. But
okay, what about the bank account? How's you got in the bank? Can he put his name on that as a joint?
Not on my – I have quite a few bank accounts. So one of them, yes. He can go on my main bank account. It's not like I have much in there anyway.
All right. Ms. Tay, we're going to bring you in.
Yeah.
And we're going to have
I was saying it's nothing wrong with a want. You know, he can want all he want to, you know. you know, for me, anybody that put up with a man like that going to tell me what I'm going to do with my money? Bye, Felicia. You know, no
hey,
way.
Craig, I'm telling
you get rid of them right then. Them flags smothering you. Get rid of them right then.
Oh, my
then.
Goodness. So y'all going to do it like that? We're almost out of time. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in for this next comment, then Jack, and then Lady C, you'll close us out tonight. Here we go. This comment, Ms. Joyce, unfortunately, when it comes to set of rules in your relationship, not all parties want to follow the very rules they have put together as a couple. The question is, what do you do at that time? Is it really like, I'd really like to know. What do you do if they don't follow rules, Ms. Joyce? Just quickly here. We're almost out of time.
Well, when they don't follow the rules, you know that nothing is going to be resolved.
Okay.
That's the main thing. When the rules are not followed, there's going to be trouble. And it's just like out in the world. We don't follow the rules, you get in trouble, you things happen that you don't want to happen. So you
all right. Benny from the block. Let's give you this next here. Benny from the block. Almost out of time, you all. We got less than a minute before Lady C closes out. She says, my boyfriend and I alter the rules as we go along, depending on the situation. We may encounter at the time requiring change. They alter it as they go along. Is that a good idea, being from the block? All right, perhaps Benny from the block is not with us. Let's bring in Teresa. Is that a good idea, Teresa, when we have it where they alter the rules as they go along? Is that a good idea?
It's not a good idea.
Okay, to alter the rules as they go along. And you don't agree with that. Okay, all right. Why is it not a good idea? Just quickly here.
Because it's going to alter the relationship.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Jack, we're going to give you this last one, and then Lady C is going to close us out here. What this comment, this male, he writes in, he says, my wife and I were having problems with the first 3 years that really disturbed our marriage. We incorporated our own rules of engagement within that time, and just like in tonight's story, we have used them for the past 15 years of our marriage. It really works for us. Jack, that's awesome. Your thoughts on that? It's worked for them.
I agree. If they've set the standards from the beginning and they both are following them and it's working, then by all means, keep it going. I love that. I love to see when a marriage is working. Now, you mentioned that a lot of the marriages are ending up in divorce, but there's a lot of them that are staying in there as well. There's
Absolutely.
A lot of marriages that are still together. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We certainly do appreciate that. Lady C, we're completely out of time. Go ahead and close us out, and thank you all.
You say
okay.
Lady T?
So-
Oh,
you said
C,
that.
Lady C.
Uh-huh. Okay, when you guys are entering into any relationship, just make sure you build a friendship and make sure that both of you are after the same future goals and is willing to build together. And someone said this earlier that touched my soul. They said, and to remember that whatever you do, treat the person the way you want to be treated, because that is how you will be able to grow with each other. If you want to be treated like trash, then you can treat your person like trash. But I want to suggest you treat somebody like trash. Treat them good so they can turn around and treat you good, because when you give love, they will give you more love. That is how I'm in it.
Very
All right,
good.
Awesome. On that note, we're clearly out of time. Please join us here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Time. When the show topic tomorrow night will be, could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's program. Could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyles? You don't want to miss this one here. If you were going to miss the show, you probably should have missed tonight. But you don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. And then, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's show, join us here at 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning for our miracle prayer day. If you're standing in need of a prayer, a miracle, you will want to join us 6:30 to 8:30 this Saturday morning. Listen, until tomorrow night or until Saturday morning, I want to say to my listening audience and thank all of you all for joining us tonight. So until tomorrow night or until Saturday morning, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr.
Good
Walker.
Good night.
And good night to all you co-hosts. And Lady C, that was a great closing. God bless you all. Keep well. And keep safe. Thank you. Bye.